This episode of Pop Cult Parent is brought to you by Young King Hair Care. Young King Hair Care is a multicultural grooming company for young men. Leveraging plant-based ingredients, Young King creates clean products to promote texture, health, and growth. Inspired by their son Cade, husband and wife team Core and Stefan launched this company in December 2019 with the mission to redefine male grooming for the next generation of black and brown men, giving them the confidence they need to be their best selves 24/7, 365. My two sons have been using Young King Hair Care products since they launched, and I highly recommend everything, especially their leave-in conditioner. Featured on Good Morning America, Shark Tank, Essence, CNBC, and more, Young King can currently be found in the shelves of over 15,000 Target, Walmart, and CVS stores, as well as Amazon. And just for members of Pop Cult, use the discount code POPCULTPARENT to receive 15% off your order at youngkinghaircare.com. That's POPCULTPARENT, one word, to get 15% off your order.
What up, what up, what up, internet? Who you are, what you be, where you at, what you see. This is Pop Cult Parent, your favorite podcast that talks about pop culture, life, and everything in between. And we're back with another X-Men 97 review episode because you demanded it. You crave it and you need it, and we're here to give it to you, baby. So before we do, let everyone introduce themselves. I'm one of your hosts, Mark M.F. Jones, and I'm joined by...
This is Niels R.Y.
And this is Shannon, a.k.a. I would help, but it's an election year.
And I'm happy to be a guest here.
What did he say?
Yeah, and we are excited to welcome a great man, a legend in his own right, a person who loves superheroes so much so he wasn't disgusted when he watched the Daredevil movie. This is my personal hero, the great Jason Holton. Jason, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm happy to be on here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with the Pop Cult.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being here. But yeah, like, fellas, we're just gonna get right into it. Once again, this show cannot miss. It comes out the gate swinging again. This was episode 7. Some major. We see a lot of the outcome of what happened in Genosha in this episode. And you know, we're gonna hit on a couple beats and keep it moving. But first, I guess, you know, Nels, we'll start with Gambit's funeral.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you know, chime in, jump in. What did you guys think about this thing?
Oh, I'll start off and say this. It was very obvious that Rogue was not there. And that completely caught me off guard, because I was just expecting this to be like Rogue's like mourning and like all of that. And so when you're looking around and you were seeing that, I was just like, yo, Rogue's not there. Of course, we see how she spends her time mourning. I don't know what part of the trauma cycle, what the steps of trauma that is. I guess once you have the powers of Miss Marvel, you add an additional step of cause mayhem to the United States.
Yeah, you skip the day shot Ricky, because I was expecting Rose, like, oh, I bet you be so cute, my baby. Like grabbing the casket as they're putting it in the
yes.
no, it should have been me.
You go straight to all that.
She's like, oh,
Lord. Nah, we didn't get any of that. But man, what we did get was grief. Oh my goodness. It's like there was moments where it just reminded me, we have been with these characters for years. And if you add the fact that there was a hiatus between what, 96 and 2024, we've kind of been with them for decades. And so, like, we know these characters. And so seeing Gambit, like, a funeral with Gambit, that hit hard. And I know y'all want to talk about Nightcrawler, and I think we absolutely should. But, like, yo, I was sad. I saw, like, characters that we love talking about Gambit, or just, like, experiencing, like, the funeral of Gambit. And I was legit sad. I was like, man, this is rough. So, yeah, it was a powerful scene. Powerful way to start an episode.
Yeah, and it did a great job of even just sort of bringing full circle, because, you know, they showed some of those characters. I think it was like his brother and somebody, or
yeah,
brother. And then I think that woman was his fiance in the episode.
Like even like showing them, and they just do such a great job, like real life. Cause I'm like, that's what life is. Like it could be, yo, we ain't seen this person in years. And then so-and-so died, they're going to be at the funeral. You know, I'm like, that's how life is. But yeah, they did a great job.
And even Wolverine was sad. And you saw him, he was just, all he could do is muster just looking away. And like, he's so tough. And obviously he's Wolverine, he's indestructible. But, you know, and he's not one to show emotions. But that's the most you'll get out of him. And you could tell that he was obviously torn up by Gambit passing.
Yeah. Man, everything, Nightcrawler once again comes out the gate with the bars, dog. Everything, it was beautiful. You know, he's like, you know, I think he was a bluffer, you know, and just, you know, he didn't see the potential in himself, and his sins made him a hero. But then to close it off where every gambler has a tale, Gambit's was modesty. I was like, yes. Yo! What? I was like, like, that was beautiful. That was,
you know, the meme with the guy who just like turns and goes, that was me after Nightwing hit that, or Nightcrawler hit that line. That was me. Yeah.
No, man. Just to add everything in there about him being a gambler, and just that was beautiful, man. Like, the whole funeral scene, it was really well done.
Yeah, man. Anything else to add about the funeral scene?
Well, they missed the traditional New Orleans march.
Oh yeah.
That would have been cool to see. Like, you could tell like the cemetery was New Orleans because it's above ground.
Yeah, they're above sea level.
You know, and as a good nod to sort of where he's from, but they missed like what New Orleans funerals are known for, and that sort of celebratory spirit. But you know, you only got so much to do in 6 minutes, so they did a lot.
That's a good call. Yeah, that's a good call.
That would have been great.
All right, y'all. So we saw one part of the morning, and then we highlighted the other part, which is Rogue. Yo, I have a new appreciation for Rogue. Like, I always thought Rogue was legit. Rogue took on the equivalent of like the Roswell, like a military
place. The base is made.
Withstand the Hulk.
To contain the Hulk. That facility is made to contain the Hulk. And she just ripped through there like it was nothing.
In a couple minutes. Let me tell y'all something real quick. Let me tell y'all something. And this is to not discredit Rogue. All right. Rogue has the powers of Miss Marvel. I'm not discrediting Rogue. She got through there quickly. That is not built for the Hulk. All right. That is not built for the Hulk. That is, somebody is going to get fired.
Yeah.
Hulk would have gone through there too.
But it's not built for the Hulk to break in. It's built for the Hulk to not break out. Two different things, right?
And very different. Very true, different.
True.
As Rogue proved. Yo, there was one point where she like swoops down, it's straight anime style. She swoops down with like a high kick, and you just see like the camera shoot down, and then it was a call out to Capcom versus Marvel.
Yep.
Yeah.
When she does her kicks down like that when she's flying, it was a shout out to the video game. And like, they're doing such a great job with this show, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, and then the animation during that scene was just like, so like we said, you know, they know when to spend the money in this show. Mm-hmm. And they're like, right now. spin. It's like the stock market. Buy. Cause man, she comes in there, you know, first of all, like breaks through the gate, boom, cracks the cement. And then you can hear like soldiers like screw, like, oh God, oh no,
what are we gonna do?
they're just like, you know, shoot her. And it's like, come on, like what, that's not gonna
man. Like, we know what time it is. Like, really? Like, let's all just, we going home, bro. You know what? Ross is downstairs. I get off in 30 minutes anyway. It ain't worth it.
Benefits ain't that good. Like, I don't know who they got for health insurance at Kaiser Permanente, but it ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it. That might not be covered under the insurance. Mutant violence, that's not
acts of God.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you guys noticed when she breaks down in there and Ross is down there. Mm-hmm. I know the actor passed away, but he definitely, again, Nails, another like check on the board of 97 X-Men coming to the MCU. Ross, that voice actor, I think it's intentional. He sounds like the actor who played Ross in the live action MCU. And like, that can't be by accident.
Yeah. And did you notice too? And I mean, again, we might be reading too much into it, but I don't leave anything up to chance with him. Like, even as the sirens and stuff are going off, remember she had him like jacked upside the wall and like the red light is on him and stuff. So that's like, because eventually what he'll be the red Hulk eventually. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't even notice that.
That's a good catch.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, cut. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I don't leave nothing up to chance. I'm going to say everything is intentional.
Yes.
Probably is. It probably is.
I in the dialogue during the scene when Ross said, I thought you were the good guys. He's like, Rogue said, you killed all of them. Now you got me.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, y'all in trouble now.
Problem.
It's everybody's problem. It is everybody's problem.
Everybody's problem. Yo, so then she goes sees Captain America. She wasn't planning to go see Captain America. She like went to like try to find out where old boy is, Gyrick is, and Captain America throws a shield there. I have to know what y'all thoughts are. What do you think was going through Captain America's head when he sees Rogue flying? He knows she's angry. It's like, yo, what do you think was going through Captain America's head? This is what I think was going through his head. I think he's like, yo, whatever she says she's doing, I'm going to say I'm doing it too.
I'm here for the same thing. You too?
Whatever you think you're doing, I'm here too. I'm doing the same thing. And yes, I'm angry about what happened to Genosha. Shame on them. We gonna figure out who did it. I don't want those problems, all right?
Yeah.
I don't want those problems.
He wasn't even there for that. He was like there doing something else. And he's like, oh, Genosha? Man, same thing. I'm here for trash. Yeah, let's go. I found something. And he's like, please let there be something down there.
You know what? Going back to your UNC roots, Niels, you know what reminded me of is Tyler Hansbrough, who was like a tough guy in the NBA. And he would always want smoke with whoever. And then one time he got like hit in the back, he turned around and it was Meta World Peace. And he was like, yeah, my bad. I'm good. Once Captain America, his radar is going, someone's coming. It's Rogue. My bad. I'm good. I'm good. Meta World Peace. I'm not messing with you.
Yep.
He's like, man, if the other Avengers were here,
I need backup.
He's like, nah, I'm going to have to pad this out. Whatever little distress button he had, he was like,
this is how I knew Cap was shook. When she grabbed his shield and threw it to the mountain, he just had a straight face and was like, let me go get my shield.
Yeah, I got a long walk ahead of me.
You know, on the inside, though, he was like, you low down. He was calling her all kinds of MFs.
Like that meme, like you raggedy, bitch.
You raggedy, climbing that mountain, my mother, just digging in the dirt, just looking for the shield.
It's a cold world. Anything else with Rogue? All right, y'all. So there's a bunch of things that happen, but we eventually realize that the mutants need to go. Oh, and no, there's a call from Bolivar Trask. Directly to the X-Men, Morph picks up the phone on like the Blackwing, and he says, go to Madripoor. It's clearly a trap, but they still go anyway because it's the only lead, and like they go there. So they go there and they see like the room and see all like the Sentinel equipment. Trask like talks about all the things that's happening and how it's sinister, and then somebody else. And this man turns it into, I mean, we will soon eventually find out he turns into like, and Jason, maybe you can explain more of this, but like he turns into an Omega Sentinel or something of the sorts.
I mean, it has, I can tell you not from an expert's perspective, but from what I understand, it's all related to the Summers baby, right? And going into the future and experiments that Mr. Sinister and Bastion are trying to create, sort of human sentinels. And so that's sort of what he turned into. And they noted that this all this tech is from the future, is far beyond the scope of our technology. And I think that's, I mean, this is the, I was hoping the Cable tie-in was Cable was going to come back reverse time somehow and everyone's going to be fine and Gambit's going to be alive. But I think the Cable tie-in, I'll still hope for that. The Cable tie-in is related to this human sentinel, and he has, like, he was infected, right, by Mr. Sinister. Bishop takes him to the future to cure him. So perhaps he's going to be critical in stopping this human sentinels from taking over.
I don't know. It's looking rough. It's looking rough out here. This man, who's not even like the like epitome of whatever they're building, took out Rogue with one hit. Went toe to toe with Jean. And you know what? Shout out to Jean. All right. This doesn't happen often because Jean is toxic as hell. But I got to give her props when she stopped the building, threw it into the ocean, and then went toe to toe with a human sentinel and did not faint. I was like, is this Madeline? I ain't never seen Jean do that. Except for when she was the Phoenix. I ain't never seen her do that.
Had a little anime fight, you know? Like, I was like, who's this?
Yeah.
Even the other X-Men was like, yo, who's that? It was a new person.
Madeline got her shook. She's like, I need to step my game up. Ain't no fainting anymore. I gotta get my man back. I gotta step up.
Hey, because Scott was like, oh, you know, he was thinking about you. She's like, you thinking about her, aren't you? He's like, well, you know, if we had a kid together, Gene, we've been through this, all right? But even before they get to that, like when they first get there and Trask is having his like I'm a monster moment, and he's about to jump off the building and just, you know, it was just, and even when they walked in, I love. Let me go back. Just when he calls them and he's like, remember, the front lobby always has plenty of Diet Cola. And it's like a little, the morphs like, oh, Diet Cola. And it's a little like secret passageway. I was like, wait a minute. This was the 90s. Like it was always Diet Cola. Like, you tell me no one went and got a Diet Soda and opened it. Someone was just like, what the hell?
Yeah. You're like, nah, give me the real deal, Holyfield. Yeah. Oh, that fake sweetener. What I look
that like. Fake sweetener. But Trask is like, he's like, I'm a monster and you guys don't know what you're in for and blah, blah, blah. And Sinister lied to me, whatever. And then when he's about to jump and then Rogue catches him and she's like, yeah, you know, whatever you can tell us, you know, I'd really appreciate it. He's like, that's all I got. And she's like, me too, and just like drops them. I was like, yo, yeah. Here we go. And Wolverine was dead. He's like, yep. He's like, he was Wolverine, like, good decision.
Pleased.
Right? Yeah. Very pleased with the whole thing. He's like,
yeah. He's like, she just doing all, he said, what was it? She just doing what all of us were thinking anyway, or something like that.
Like, and bro, you are winning today. You found the secret base. You did what we all wanted to do. You were just coming out swinging today.
And you know how we know that Wolverine was right. It's not like no one else has superpowers on this team. Nightcrawler can teleport.
Yes.
Gene has telepathy. Yes. They could have saved him.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh no, what to do? Yeah. They were just like,
no.
Yeah.
They all hit the family guy. Oh no. Like,
yeah. Try to like look at the wall and be like, oh dang. Like, I would have saved him, but I was just
saved. Reach out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, bro made the decision for everybody. Everybody just like, I guess this is what we are now.
G was trying to act like she's having like an asthma attack. Bro.
Again, I'm like, it's going back to the intro I had, because I feel like this is going to be my energy. If I don't want to do it this year, I'm like, hey, I would, but it's an election year. And I feel like that was their thought. They were like, yo, I would have helped, but it's an election year, man. I can't really.
Exactly what happened. All right. There was one. There's a couple shout outs that we have to do. And we could, of course, talk more about like the end of the show. But there's a couple things we got to name. One, we find out that the big bad is Bastion. And we got to give a shout out to Dr. Michael Stevens. He called it first in our episode. I think it was maybe like 3 or 4 episodes ago. He named that, like, it either could be Cassandra Nova or it could be Bastion. What he shared about Bastion is that Bastion is a combination of a mother mold and what is his name?
Nimrod.
Yeah.
And Nimrod is like the epitome of a Sentinel from the future. He actually showed up in the show. So like that can explain a lot of the future tech. I don't know much about Bastion. I was curious if y'all know much about Bastion. I know he's definitely in the comic books. And I can assume he's a problem because Nimrod is a problem. So if this is a Nimrod and a Master Mold combined, then this is bad for everybody.
The only, like, I don't know a lot about him either, but from X-Men 97, I think he's been in every episode, right? Except for maybe one or two episodes. He's like done some like cameo. You see him for a second, the back of his head or some junk like that. But yeah, like he's been all throughout the episodes. But yeah, like comic wise, like I don't know, aside from what we just said there, that it is a combination of Nimrod and Master Mold and shoot.
Yeah. Great voice acting. Like whoever the voice actor was, he was just, he nailed it.
Pretty sure it's Theo James. I don't know who that brother is, where he's from, but his name is Theo James. Because I had to look at it, I was like, whoever this is killing it.
The brother that's written all these episodes, and I can't remember the brother that
wrote DeMaio.
Yes, he's been on Twitter confirming Bastion's appearances in every single episode. If you look at his Twitter history, and if we're on sort of shoutouts and predictions, the interesting thing, and I know we're not talking about the Deadpool Wolverine trailer on this podcast, but the tie-in is like now that this is canon and Deadpool Wolverine is obviously canon. I was wondering about Cassandra Nova for this storyline. Cassandra Nova is in the trailers for Deadpool Wolverine. So my theory is that this actually will tie into Deadpool Wolverine, the movie. So like this series will tie into the movie.
Let him cook.
Yeah. and Niels also knows the other one on my record is Val Cooper's Mystique.
Yes.
I don't know how controversial that is. Val Cooper's Mystique. We're not going like, Mystique is going to be in this season, and she has been in this season, is my prediction, and it's Val Cooper.
I like that, but it's like, what does she get out of a genocide? What does Mystique get out of that?
She wasn't planning on the genocide, but what she's doing right now is running the UN, bruh, and like, and Magneto having a spy in the UN this whole time, that is definitely Mystique's, like, that's her Steve. Jason, I think you are right. And she's still missing.
Yes.
Which is another thing. And they straight up named it in the episode that, like, she's missing. You called that early, too. I think you're right. I think we'll see. There is another shout out that we need to do. And that shout out is me. Because I said in the episode when Madeline Pryor came out that, like, we noticed Sinister was in the house by himself. And I was like, from what we know of Sinister, just even from this show, Sinister never works alone. Like, he always got somebody else that he's, like, plotting with. And it comes to find out that he's plotting with Bastion. So that is something else there. And then the last thing I got is, unless y'all want to, do y'all want to be spoiled? Because this is, I know what OZT is.
Yeah, I know.
But too. If because it's from the comic books, but if you don't want to know yet,
I'm good.
OZT, from my knowledge, I don't know too much about it. I just know it's from the comic books and it's Operation Zero Tolerance, which is like a super secret government initiative to wipe out mutants. And Bastion is like the leader of all of it. Unlimited resources to just do whatever he can to take out all mutants.
Yes.
Like literally zero tolerance. Like we won't stand for it.
Bastion's from the future. Okay.
Well, Nimrod's from the future. So Bastion's technically from the future.
Well, a part of him is from the future. So Nimrod, even in this universe, would have had to come back from the future and mix meld with a master mold. Is that how we get Bastion?
Yep, that's essentially it.
Well, I'm like, why come to the past? Why come to the past to do that? Why?
Yeah, I don't know, brother. I guess we're gonna find out. I mean, Nimrod comes back from the past a few times, at least like in comics and in the show. He came to the past, and I don't even remember the Nimrod episode. Maybe y'all do. I do not remember. But I'm assuming to probably take down Xavier because, like, why not? Go ahead, Shannon.
No, I was agreeing with you because I'm like, I remember him being there because, like, the way they ended up breaking him was like Storm froze him and then maybe Bishop shot him. They did some mess to like broke him into pieces and then, you know, broke those pieces. But as you say that, though, I remember there was an episode, and I can't remember, this might have been Nimrod, but I remember they did something where someone came into the past and the goal was like to kill Professor X when he was like a college student. And I can't remember if if Nimrod was involved in that. But anyway, yeah, just did you mention that? Because it was something like they was like trying to kill him when he was like a young college student, I guess. So the X-Men and the ideology and all of that would never even get started.
Oh, sorry. I'm just laughing because you say like Professor X in college. This brother already like holding it down in space. I could just imagine the young Charles on campus, world in his hand, getting dried in the step, probably laying waste, dog. No one's safe.
No one's safe. No one really knows what mutants are.
Young Charles, reading minds, knowing what these women want. Oh my God.
Charles was a problem.
And you mentioned Bastion and Mr. Sinister. You can't mention that without the fact that Bastion sunned him in that episode. I mean, he wasn't partners. He's like, they're not equal partners. He made it really clear. I'm here, and you tried your stuff back in 1992. Yeah. And I can't remember the exact line. He made it really clear. It's like, yes, you're here in service of me, and you're lucky to be my company. And he made it very clear in that scene, which was, I thought, a really good one.
He did. Sinister don't get sun like that often. So that was a beautiful sight.
And he took it. He took it.
But did y'all notice he said you're a villain of old or something like that? And then Sinister said you were one of those villains too.
Yep. And I think that's a shout out to Nimrod or Master Mold, one or the other. Yeah.
Because because even then, like, he tried to bite back, but like, that line was said. But then he was basically like, yeah, but I evolved. And even then, okay, well, I ain't really got nothing for that.
He's like, hey, dogs, well, chill with all that, like, little stuff. Like, let me show you this space satellite hookup I got going on. He's like, whatever.
Let's stay on mission here.
Let's look at Charles. I'm spying on Charles in a whole other galaxy. Let's look at that for a while. Like, come on.
That's gangster. So, I mean, I think we'll see what the... I mean, there's three episodes left. We'll see what's going on. We know there's going to be multiple seasons. But what is the end goal? Because he still has Magneto. Like, thank God Magneto's still alive. Hallelujah. So, he still has Magneto. He's clearly keeping him alive and groomed for something. And he's about to, like, Xavier is involved in all of this. My prediction and my biggest fear is he's going to turn Magneto into a Sentinel. I don't even want that to happen. But why else keep Magneto alive?
I don't know. And then, like, how poetically evil when he's shaving Magneto with the straight, you know, and this dude has the power to like mix, like, but like you can't do nothing. So the one thing you could probably save yourself from, and you just got to sit there and like let this guy shave you with a straight edge. Like, I was like, yo, this guy is evil.
The question I had at the end of the episode, I'm sure everyone had the same question, was, but what about Leech? Like, we got to, like, he's got to, you know, shout out to Gambit, but if Leech ain't back by the next episode, I don't know if I can watch that anymore.
I don't know, man. Leech is ash. Leech is gone, dog. That's all they had was the picture, because there's no body.
And what's your boy's name, Shannon? That's your favorite?
I was just thinking, I can't even remember. Was it Herb? Something?
Glob something? I forgot.
Well, yeah.
Did he make it? The Glob Herschel? What was his name? Did he make it? Is he all right?
Oh, I don't think so, man.
All right, y'all. There's one other thing that happened in this episode. And I'm just going to call it Sunspot coming out to his mom. Because, I mean, pitch for pitch, bar for bar, flow for flow, this was essentially Sunspot coming out to his mom, except for instead of him naming that he had different sexual preference, he was naming he was a mutant. He was coming out as a mutant to his mom. And I think for obvious reason, this pays homage to like Bo DeMaio as a creator who identifies as a member of the LGBTQ community, that like he wanted to show ways that like how X-Men and the mutants is an allegory for folks who are historically oppressed. And so this is just like one example of like how a conversation like this goes that mirrors conversations that happen in real life. Mm. I thought it was beautifully done and painful at the same time, because
they set the mom up to be like a champion. They're like, oh, okay, she gets her son, she loves it. You're like, oh no,
we got business deals. You can't be out here mutinying. You know, we got business deal.
Can't be out there clubbing and mutin. Come on, we got. But no, it was great. And then like Jubilee's there to coach him through it. So, okay, just breathe and just say it. And then before they even get there, when she's like, you know, you should tell your parents. Like, it's getting real out in here in these streets. Like, this is the map. Like, people are trying to kill mutants. And like, if you don't, like, you could end up dead on the news, and that's how your family's gonna find out. And just that whole ordeal and having to go with those emotions, but the when he tells his mom, she's like, son, the house burnt down, what, he like 3 or 4 times? Like, we knew. Yeah. And like, oh man, look at them supporting her son. And then she's like, oh well, she's like, yeah, but you're gonna have to keep it on the down.
That was rough. And again, mirrors a lot of the things that you see in real life too. So that was like tough. Because it's not, you know, it'd be lovely if it was just like, you know, hunky-dory, fun cartoon. All right.
Yeah.
Back to what else is on the tube. But like, that's happening every day. Like, those are conversations that are happening every day. And sometimes it doesn't go that nicely. So it's tough. It's tough to see that. Just like, great, I love you. I love you for who you are. Don't tell nobody. We got money to make. That's a tough pill to swallow.
And I thought at first, I was like, this is wrapping up a little too nicely. But then the X-Men and I was like, oh, hold up.
Yeah. I got you.
I can imagine that, like y'all saying, for that to happen and even like the family being like, yes, I love you and I understand. But you know, but you can't tell the church, because you know your dad is trying to be, you know, deacon or you know, whatever. So don't tell the church. But don't tell the church.
Yeah. You can still sing in the choir. You good? You can still be in the choir.
Or you know, or something else. It was like, you know, but don't go on TV telling people, because you know we got that business deal coming up, and you can't, you know, we don't even want to mess with that. Like, you know.
Yeah. And I can't take credit for this take, but in just thinking about this episode and researching it, you know, someone made it a point around, this is also the mid-90s, where the head policy around folks that identify with gay in terms of like federal policy and company policy was don't ask, don't tell, right? So his mom basically was falling in line with that, right? Mm-hmm. With like, you know, very progressive support and like, yeah, we knew we accept you, but don't tell nobody, right? It was like prevalent in the mid-90s.
And even, you know, kind of the conversation Beast had with that newscaster,
the reporter,
kind of touched on it. Because then when they were in Genosha, Sunspot was like, see when we flaunt it in their faces? See what happens when we just like put in their faces? And then when Beast is talking to her and he says the Martin Luther King riots the language of the
unheard.
On the unheard, and the classical. Well, she's like, if they just would listen and do what they were told, and you know, no one's going to listen to them. And then you know, and it's like, where have we heard that
Beast before? Just like that?
You know, yeah. Lost Beast was like, she would, yeah. She was on track to have a good man in her life, and she lost him like that.
Lost him like that. They're like, they're on sacred ground. Like, the people, this was like a terrorist attack on all his people. And he's like, oh, so this is what you're going to say? This is what you're going to say, right? Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah. Leave Genosha. How dare you? He was pissed.
Yeah, like really? Right? We're finding bodies still. And you're going to tell us to, like, you know, well, don't get too riled up. Like, and then they'll tolerate you. It's like, what?
Yeah. Don't kneel during the anthem, Cap. You protest a different way, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
And if you read our Instagram comic section, we don't know what we're talking about, and we're just looking for woke signals in X-Men. It's us doing it.
Yeah.
It's not the show. It's just us, you know, just conjuring this stuff up out of our heads.
You know the sad thing? Because you brought up social media.
I looked at the comments, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Neil.
You know what really perturbed me is, like, it's not like we were just straight up saying racism. This is racism, y'all. It's because Black men were talking about it, just talking about X-Men in general, that they were like, this is a woke agenda.
Woke agenda.
We're talking about a couple of characters.
Go broke.
Like, dang, you chose to take it there and call it a woke agenda. And, like, and by the way, it's X-Men. That's what X-Men has always been about. Like,
From day one.
Come on,
I don't know if it's because now, just like the age that I am and the stage we are in life, and some of my experiences and things that I've, you know, done, presented, studied, this and that. But I mean, I feel like in the original X-Men cartoon, like, yes, you can see how that overlaps and everything. But this one, it's like it just hits you in the face. Like, I feel like there's no way you could have watched these episodes and not seen the connection between their oppression and the LGBTQ community, being Black or brown, being, you know, anything other than quote unquote, you know, the default. And I'm just like, this is so obvious, you know.
The reporter called them normal people. Yeah, those were her exact words. So anything besides normal people. Yeah.
I've said it before on this show. When you go back to the 90s, what a lot of sci-fi, because a lot of sci-fi uses a lot of allegory. Yeah. A lot of things that came out back then would be called woke today.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Connor. Oh, you a woman saving the world from AI? Woke.
Yes.
You know, Ripley. Oh, of course a woman would beat the alien at the end. Woke. Like a lot of that
Captain
stuff.
Planet and the Planeteers would be called woke.
Kwame
was the one saying, let our powers combine. He was leading them all. They're like, why do they have the Rainbow Coalition up there representing the planet? Like, come on, bro. It would have been roasted out here now.
It's only two white characters? It's like, there's only five of them.
And they represent the whole world.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
You mean you're supposed to have like these people representing the entire world? Why? Because they look like the citizens of the entire world? No.
Yeah, man. Whew. All right, y'all. Well, anything else before we wrap up?
I can't wait for the next one, dude. These are just, I look forward to this show. Like, I'm like, Wednesday's coming. All right, X-Men. Like, this is great. And we're getting to the end, and I forget his name again, but the director or showrunner, there's been nothing said about why he was let go. There's rumors, but there's nothing about who's going to be running this show the next couple seasons. And I don't know if this is going to be a whole another James Gunn situation where he gets to come back, but it's going to be interesting because as far as I can tell, this show is pretty universally loved. I think its Rotten Tomatoes score is super high still. So yeah, your move, Disney.
Yeah, I'll just say, like, yo, I hope it wasn't that bad. I don't know what he did, but I hope it wasn't that bad. Because he's killing it. I kind of want y'all to bring him back. Now, if it was really bad, hey, keep him out. Keep him out.
Hey, give him out. Keep him out of here.
I don't even want to know if it's really bad.
Hey,
but if it wasn't that bad.
You know who you sound like? Do you remember that South Park episode where they're on the talk show and he's like, "Well, I know he talked to the little kids, but it's Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson." Like, what? What are you talking about, Michael Jackson? He's like, "You know, Michael Jackson. I mean, come on, Michael."
No comment, Mark. No comment. Anything else before we wrap up the episode?
I'll say one thing. Something that worries me. So, you know how we're like, man, like Gambit can't be gone. I don't think Gambit's gone. Like, I'm, you know, like we know there's always window to come back because time travel, this and that. I think we're going to get Gambit back, but I don't think it's going to be the Gambit we want.
My heart. Hey, Shannon.
That's what and the reason I'm saying that is because I'm like, keep in mind, they keep showing Apocalypse like in the opening credits, but we haven't seen him yet. And you know how Apocalypse was known for like turning people evil into his like horsemen and stuff. That's been some of my thoughts.
Shannon.
I don't know. I know.
If Rogue has to take out a Omega Sentinel Gambit.
Oh.
So that's been my thought and worry, and I think that might
too much. Yeah, shit.
Thank y'all for listening.
I'm
done with y'all.
I just want to ask y'all something that I've been seeing like a little Discord online about. What are y'all thoughts on? There's a lot of chatter around Morph and Wolverine are an item in this show. What do you think about that? You think so?
Yeah.
Because when they were chilling on the wall together.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just leave. Yeah.
Like that friendship has evolved. All right. And look, we know Morph has gone through some stuff. And Morph also is, I think, like identifies as like they now at this point. But Morph has the power to turn into anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine's been alive for a long time. He ain't never had that before. All right. I am confident he has never had that before. I think they're okay.
Another couple sessions in the danger room. More for Wolverine.
That's definitely a pair. Yeah.
Well, good on them.
I just hope that stays healthy because I feel like that could get unhealthy very quickly.
Sure.
Turn into Sabretooth. Oh, Logan, I don't. Last time. I don't know, Logan. Do it.
Oh, okay. No,
this is not the pod.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening to another reaction to X-Men 97. We have a new episode every month. You can find us on all social media at Pop Cult Parent, PopCultParent. Visit us at www.popcultparent.com. Become a member of the Pop Cult at our Patreon, patreon.com/popcultparent, where you can see all our full video episodes. Email us at popcultparent@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate us, review, and subscribe. And as always, join the cult. Peace.
Peace.
Be out.
Pop Cult Parent.